Let's just commit this time to the Lord. Our God and our Father, we come before you again, so thankful for your gift of your Son, the Lord Jesus, and what we have because of what he has done for us. And we just thank you for this time now that we could spend reading your word and studying it and seeing what you have to say to us. And we just pray that we would be able to, by your strength, to continue in the things that we learn, knowing that we have learned them from you, and that we could be assured of what we have been learned. So we commit this time to you, thanking you in the name of your Son, the Lord Jesus. Amen. Okay, so I will begin reading in 2 Chronicles chapter 17. Second Chronicles 17, verses 1 through 5, and verse 12. And Jehoshaphat, his son, reigned in his stead and strengthened himself against Israel. And he placed forces in all the fenced cities of Judah and set garrisons in the land of Judah and in the cities of Ephraim, which Asa, his father, had taken. And the Lord was with Jehoshaphat, because he walked in the ways of his father David, and sought not unto Balaam, but sought to the Lord God of his father, and walked in his commandments, and not after the doings of Israel. Therefore the Lord established the kingdom in his hand, and all Judah brought to Jehoshaphat presents, and he had riches and honor in abundance. In verse 12. And Jehoshaphat waxed great exceedingly, and he built in Judah castles and cities of store. And in chapter 18, verses 1 through 3. Now Jehoshaphat had riches and honor in abundance, and joined affinity with Ahab. And after certain years, he went down to Ahab to Samaria, and Ahab killed sheep and oxen for him in abundance, and for the people that he had with him, and persuaded him to go up with him to Ramoth-Gilead. And Ahab, king of Israel, said unto Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, wilt thou go with me to Ramoth-Gilead? And he answered him, I am as thou art, my people as thy people, and we will be with thee in the war. And then verses 28 through 32. So the king of Israel and Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, went up to Ramoth-Gilead. And the king of Israel said unto Jehoshaphat, I will disguise myself and will go to the battle, but put on thy robes. So the king of Israel disguised himself, and they went into the battle. Now the king of Syria had commanded the captains of the chariot that were with him, saying, fight ye not with small or great, save only with the king of Israel. And it came to pass, when the captains of the chariots saw Jehoshaphat, they said, it is the king of Israel. Therefore they compassed about him to fight. But Jehoshaphat cried out, and the Lord helped him, and God moved them to depart from him. And it came to pass, that when the captains of the chariots perceived that it was not the king of Israel, they turned back again from pursuing him.
Let's also turn this morning to Jeremiah chapter 6 and verse 16. I'd like to read this verse and place it before us as really an umbrella or a foundation for us throughout the day, for all of our studies, as really the exercise that is before the brethren as we look at the life of Jehoshaphat and see what the challenge is for us in the day in which we live, an evil day, a day of confusion, a day of many voices in the world around us, And what is the path that the Lord would have for his people, his children, in such a wilderness scene? Jeremiah 6, verse 16. Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths. Where is the good way? And walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. If we look in the world around us today, it's very evident and it's obvious to us to see that the character of the world is very much as it was in the days of the judges, when every man did that which was right in his own eyes. When we look at professing Christendom, then we see very much this character of the world that has infiltrated the ranks of the testimony that is should be for Christ to that which reflects the world, and that every man is doing that which is right in his own eyes. What about for you? What about for me? Has this characteristic infiltrated our thinking? Is the standard that has been placed, or that we place before ourselves, this characteristic of the world, every man did that which was right in his own eyes? Or what is the standard that would direct us to the path that the Lord would have us to walk in this day of difficulty and departure from what is taught to us in the Word of God? And when we read Jeremiah 6 and verse 16, really this is the challenge that the prophet would place before the people of God. Stand ye in the ways and see. Really what he's saying here, we're come to a crossroads. There's many paths. There's many voices. When we look at the world around us, one says this, another says something different. And he says to us, who confess Jesus Christ as Lord. At such a crossroad, what is the path to choose? There is one. Which is it? And this is the exercise that would really be placed before us today as we look at the life of Jehoshaphat. What is the path, the practical Christian path in this world that the Lord would have us walk in that would bring testimony and glory unto him, and to direct us and guide us through all that is around us as we wait for his soon return? So as we look at our first study, where we have in Second Chronicles 17, here we have Jehoshaphat, and we've entitled this first study Revival. Here Jehoshaphat established in the things of Jehovah, in the Word of God. Then we find in our, as we go to the second half of our first study, that we're going to see that Jehoshaphat is like each one of us. And how do we learn from this for me and apply this to myself, that there is failure, there is a weakness on the part of Jehoshaphat? And then in our second study, we come to restoration. And where would the Lord bring us back to? There may be, and there is, consequences. But what is the path that would lead us back into the path that he would direct us in, where he would receive the glory, and that he would give us the strength to walk in? So this is the challenge And this is really the exercise that we have before us today as we seek from these scriptures to learn for us and to be challenged, what is the practical path that we ought to be walking in for the glory and praise of Christ in this scene where he has been rejected?
If you have these outlines, you will notice that it's not a verse-by-verse study, but we want to, as pointed out, pick out certain features that characterized Jehoshaphat, upon which we see God blessing. And when he departed from that, we find there's failure and there's compromise in his life. And then to see, we don't want to dwell on the failure, but we want to see what was required for his restoration. So we notice in the very first verses that were read that the Lord was with Jehoshaphat because he walked in the first ways of his father David. How commendable this is at such a time. Goes way back to David to check to see the path for him. And he followed, he did not go and follow what was common already in his time around him. But then we noticed that as he was prospered and the fear of the Lord fell upon all the nations around, God, they gave evidence, the blessings of the Lord upon him was an evidence that God was with him. The people recognized this. This is what we want to learn for ourselves, is our conduct, our walk, such that they will recognize God is with them. Then we noticed that as prosperity came in, and that he, with all the wealth that he had, when you trace back the army that he had, and the establishing of the fenced cities and so on, he became, as it were, content. And we noticed in the 18th chapter, riches, honor, and abundance joined with affinity with Ahab. Just going to mention that point, and I'll let others develop this further. But here he joined affinity with Ahab, a wicked king, and the consequences of this. So this is the danger when our hearts become attached to other things than the Lord directly. Then there's a compromise and the trend, the tendency, unnoticed by us at times, where we come into contact, into association with what is not of God.
When we think about Jehoshaphat, his name means Jehovah has judged. And I think this is very important for us to realize, because when we think about revival, and as it's titled on the first study, revival. What is the key to revival? First of all, it's to recognize the fact that all judgment has been given over to the hands of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then secondly, it's to be reminded afresh that each of us will stand before the Lord at the judgment seat of Christ and give an account for the way we've lived here in this scene, and for what we've done for the glory of Christ in this scene. And so Jehovah has judged. And so when we think about this Jehoshaphat, it's good to be reminded that Jehovah has judged. But the second thing that we see with Jehoshaphat in the very first verse is he strengthened himself against Israel. Now, why is that important? This little word against Israel is really important, because when we look at the the Hebrew and we look at the root word, it has the idea of ascending up. It has the idea of rising above. And the way to victory is for us to rise above. The way for victory for the Christian life is to look above, not to look here. And what we find in chapter 17 is that Jehoshaphat soared. In fact, in verse 6 of chapter 17, it says that he delighted himself in the Lord. And again, that root word for delight means to soar. And so he soared toward the Lord. He soared up toward the Lord. He raised himself, or the Lord raised him above the circumstances and the things of this earth. It's very interesting that the first verse in chapter 18 reminds us that he went down. He went down. He soared up when he had his heart delighting in the Lord. But compromise comes in when we lose sight of the Lord. And that's what Brother Jake was just saying. So just to encourage us that the thought being is Jehovah has judged, that we keep in mind that we will stand before the Lord, that we keep in mind that all things have been turned over to him and he has judged and will judge. And then our own hearts soaring upward toward the Lord.
I just want to sort of focus a little on that word we have in verse 3. And the Lord was with Jehoshaphat because he walked in the first ways of his father David and sought not unto the Baals. And then we get in verse 4, but sought the Lord God of his father and walked in his commandments. We see the God of his father here may be in reference to Asa. You know, Brother John, you read from Jeremiah chapter 6. Thus saith the Lord, stand you in the ways and see and ask for the old paths. Now, just for the younger ones here, when we say the old paths, we don't mean the old-fashioned paths, okay? We mean the original principles that God has given. A little illustration of this is, our new prime minister here, the Right Honorable Justin Trudeau, when he came in to his office, and he had quite a liberal agenda ahead of him, and I'm not here to speak of politics at all. It's just an illustration, okay? But the reporters asked him, it's such a cutting-edge liberal agenda. Why are you doing this? And he says, it's very simple. He says, because it's 2015. That was his answer, 2015. Well, you know, it is 2015, and so we don't drive in horse and buggies anymore, right? It's okay to drive in cars and so on. But for the Christian, we don't do things. We're not operated by principles because it's 2015. We operate under principles because of what God has revealed in his word. His word, his principles do not change with time. You see, and that's the point, is to get back to what the original principles are. That's revival, really. It's getting back to God, and what, because the tendency is always to drift, right? Entropy. And so we see here in verse 3, and the Lord was with Jehoshaphat because he walked in the first ways of his father David. The first ways. I find that solemn. We can think of David's life. Bathsheba, the murder of Uriah the Hittite, and so on. David? Really? Really, David? We see a recovery in David's life, a restoration. And we see this again and again and again in the Word of God, where one started well, but didn't finish well. Demas, he started well. We see others who maybe struggled in the beginning, but they end well. That's good. I know I struggled a lot in the beginning as I disentangled myself from my life before being a Christian. We trust that we will be walking for the Lord when he comes, honoring his principles. Now look at Asa. Just turn back to chapter 16. verse 11, and behold the acts of Asa, first and last. First and last. Asa started well. He started well. But then he refused to listen to the Lord's voice through the prophet and arrested the prophet, rejecting God's word. That's a departure. He didn't go into idolatry or anything, but he rejected God's word. And then we come over to chapter 20 of Chronicles, and we see another king. That's King Uzziah. Chapter 20 and verse 34. Now the rest of the acts of Jehoshaphat, the first and the last, less Jehoshaphat, we notice here the same word, Jehoshaphat, the first and the last, behold, they are written in the book of Jehu, the son of Hanani. I was thinking of Jehoshaphat, not Uzziah. But there it's the first and the last are specifically brought out before us again. Turn to Revelation, the book of Revelation. Revelation chapter 2. Verse 4 and 5. Nevertheless, I have something or somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Remember, therefore, from where thou art fallen, and repent and do the first works, the word of the Lord. And notice that the Lord says, from where you're fallen, not to where you're fallen, but from where you're fallen. That's the thing, is to get back to the first principles. And that's what we seek. Lord, stir our hearts, refresh our hearts, renew us, restore us to the first ways that you've given us.
Well, Jehoshaphat walked in the ways of his father David. And whom should we walk in the ways of who? We go to Hebrews 13. He says, remember them which had the rule over you, who had spoken to you the word of God, and imitating their faith, looking at the end of their conversation. And then immediately he says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. If those that have spoken to them the word of God are finished, we imitate only their faith. But there is one that is all the time, we imitate him. Peter says, Christ suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow in his steps. So we have a perfect model before us in whom we should follow in his steps. And if we describe the condition then and now, Paul says to Timothy in 2 Timothy 4, speak the word, be instant in season, rebuke, reprove, exhort with all patience and long-suffering. For the time will come when they shall not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts they will heap for themselves teachers having itching ears, and they will walk away from the truth. And this describes the time or the story of Jehoshaphat, and it describes more our time, that the sound doctrine is not received, is not acceptable. But people would like to hear what they want to hear, having itching ears. And this is what happens with this King Ahab. He was a wicked king. And we heard repeatedly that the downfall of the godly King Jehoshaphat was that he joined affinities with Ahab. It is said repeatedly in the Kings that there was none like Ahab, who has sold himself to work wickedly in the sight of the Lord. He sold himself to wickedness. So there is no excuse for the king that he didn't know. It was so obvious. In joint affinity, we know that his son that reigned after him married that wicked woman Athaliah, the daughter of Ahab. And the enemy is clever, you know. He chooses one that is a leading, a king, godly king. And if he can entice him, then the whole nation would go in the wrong direction. He says to Ahab, I am as thou art, my people as thy people. Good thing God didn't take him on his word. Because we know the end of Ahab. He was killed in this war. And if we take this in the New Testament teaching, and we have bright teaching. You know, someone said that the Old Testament is the new concealed, and the New Testament is the old revealed. So we take this in the context of 2 Corinthians 6. Be not unequally yoked with unbelievers. What communion has believer with an unbeliever? What fellowship has light with darkness? And that would be the first lesson, or one of the main lessons we would hear, we would learn from this beautiful story. You know, these stories are not written just as history. It is written for our learning. For whatsoever things were written aforetime, were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scripture might have hope. It is not just a history, a story, but it is for our learning.
The first ways of David, his father. This has been emphasized to us. And I want to continue on this line. In the history of the kings of Judah, there are three kings that are given to us where the ways of David were followed. Jehoshaphat, Hezekiah, and Josiah. But the testimony that the scriptures gives of Jehoshaphat is different than the other two. And it's this little word that was emphasized to us, that Jehoshaphat walked in the first ways of David, his father. The other kings, the testimony that is given to them is that they walked in the ways of David, their father. But the description of the first ways, that which had been established. But when we read through these verses here in chapter 17, we learn why this is. Notice verse 5. Therefore the Lord, Jehovah, established the kingdom in his hand. The Lord established it. Jehoshaphat didn't establish his own kingdom. He was established in the ways of the Lord. We read in verse 6, his heart was lifted up in the ways of the Lord. So we learn that it's a heart matter. We learn that it has to do with his affections. This is what was the motivating energy in the part of Jehoshaphat to seek the Lord. Revelation 2 was brought before us, the church at Ephesus. What was the downfall? Thou hast left thy first love. It was a heart matter. The affections were the problem. And something else had come in that had replaced those affections to draw the heart away from what had been established. This is exactly the problem that we learn in Jehoshaphat. He began well, as we heard, and he was established in the ways of the Lord, in the word of God, in the law of God, and his heart delighted in him. He was established. The Lord established his kingdom. But when we find that he joined affinity with Ahab, we read that he had riches and honor in abundance. It's a heart matter. It's the affections. And when there is that which comes in that displaces what has been established of our affections in Christ, who is the one who has given everything in order to purchase us as a possession for himself, that we are his, bought with a price, the precious blood of Christ. But when there is that which comes in that takes and displaces those affections and that reality in my heart, then we find that it's always replaced with something. With Jehoshaphat, there was riches, there was abundance, there was honor, there was affluence. That which had come in, that had taken a part of his heart. And this is where we see that downward path that we find in Jehoshaphat. But that's the challenge for us. These things are written for our learning. Now we take this to apply to ourselves the first ways of David. Our first love. Those affections for Christ. To seek to follow him in all sincerity. And in the energy that he would give. What is my heart condition? Search me, O Lord, and try my heart. And see if there be any wicked way in me.
I just want to continue with the same line. Someone said, the heart of the problem is a problem in the heart. So when there is a problem somewhere or with somebody, then this is an indication of there, that was a problem in the heart. And as we go through our lives, we pass through different tests or trials. The Lord is trying us, not that he wants to know what's in our hearts, but because he wants us to see what's in our hearts. I'm reminded in Deuteronomy 8, the Lord says, and you shall remember that the Lord your God led you all the way these 40 years in the wilderness to humble you and to test you, to know what is in your heart. He wants us to realize what's in our hearts. So many times we have milk in the fridge. We're not sure if it is good or bad. So what we do? We test it. It doesn't look, by looking at it outwardly, we cannot tell. But put this milk in some boiling water, and right away it will show the reality and the quality of this milk. And this is what happened, and this is what happens in our lives. The Lord allow us and guide us to go through different circumstances, different trials. And these trials test our hearts and reveal what's inside in our hearts. We saw here in Jehoshaphat, he started a very good start. But he had a fall or a weak point in his personality. When we look to his father, we find him. He made a treaty with Ben-Hadad, the king of Syria, against Baasha, the king of Israel. So we thought that he will realize the mistake of his father and don't do it. But he did the same mistake, but in the other way. Instead of allying himself with the king of Syria against Israel, he allied with the king of Israel against the king of Syria. So he tried to not to imitate his father by doing another mistake. So we can see in his life that he allied himself with Ahab, as we read in chapter 18. He allied himself with the son of Ahab, which his name is Jehoram, which is mentioned in 2 Kings 3, to fight against the king of Syria. And again, he allied himself with the son of Jehoram, Ahaziah, to make ships and to do business together, which is mentioned in 2 Chronicles 20, 35, and 36. A weak point in his personality, and he keep repeating the same mistake again. The Lord taught him a lesson, but whenever there is a weak in his spiritual life, he comes back to the same weak point. So again, the heart of any problem is a problem in the heart. We remember Solomon. He followed the Lord in the beginning, but it is mentioned about him that he loved many foreign women. They turned away his heart after other gods, and his heart wasn't loyal to the Lord his God. Yesterday, in the Arabic meeting in Willowdale, we were speaking about Abraham and Lot. And Abraham and Lot were tested with two trials. The trial of famine and the trial of riches. When they tried with famine, they went to Egypt. A picture of the world. And when they were tried with riches, there was a contention between their shepherds. And Lot went to Sodom and Gomorrah. So either riches or famine, it's a trial for our hearts. What we will do? Will we stick with the Lord? Or this trial will take us away from the Lord? A man in the book of Proverbs, he realized the weakness and the wickedness of his heart. He asked the Lord this answer. Two things I request of you. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with the food allotted to me. Why? Because with poverty, with riches, I might be full and deny you and say, who is the Lord? When I am rich, I might rely on my riches and deny the Lord. But what will happen if there is poverty? I will steal and profane the name of my God. How wicked and weak and prone to go astray our hearts. But as we learn from Jehoshaphat, the weakness and the wickedness of our hearts, may we stick to the Lord and follow him in all circumstances. May the Lord help us to watch our hearts with all diligence, for out of it springs the issues of life.
Just want to add to what our brothers have been saying in relation to Jehoshaphat's heart. Verse 5 ends with, he had riches and honor in abundance. But it began with, the Lord established him. So the one who established him in Judah on the throne was the one who gave him riches and honor in abundance. He had plenty of money, but he also had people looking to him and recognizing him publicly as a man whom God had honored. And what we read in Proverbs chapter 10, I think it is, and Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 22, yes, the blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich, and he addeth no sorrow with it. The blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich, he addeth no sorrow with it. God did not intend that Jehoshaphat should have problems. But Jehoshaphat's problem, as we learned, was his heart. What do we realize here? We look back at the kingdom of Israel. When it was united, after it was broken up, they tried to reestablish it by war, and it did not work. And now here, Jehoshaphat's riches and honor is going to, he's going to seek to reunite the kingdom of Israel with the kingdom of Judah by marriage. He's going to reunite. And what brings him to that point? His riches, chapter 18 and verse 1, he had riches and honor in abundance, and he turned to Ahab.
When he started, the riches and honor and abundance came from the Lord. But now, he turns to Ahab. And he learns from Ahab, I am as thou art. Who told him this? It was Ahab. The enemy of our souls. We see the prosperity that God has given us as individuals or as companies. And he knows that in us still the flesh is present. And that is one enemy that we cannot get rid of. And he works us over with the flesh. This was Jehoshaphat's problem. He did not associate the riches and honor with the one who had established him. He associated, now I am as Ahab is. And he forgot about the Lord. He goes down to Ahab. And Ahab tells him, oh, we're in the same boat. We're fellows. I'm a king, you're a king. And he agrees with him. He marries his son to Ahab's daughter. And he goes out in war with Ahab. The challenge for believers is not just that the enemy will come as a roaring lion in the battle, but he will come as an angel of light in the marriage alliance. And we fail to see the cunning that he has. When riches increase, set not your heart upon them. Again, we were told in Deuteronomy chapter 8, when thou art full, thou hast eaten and art full. Deuteronomy 8 and verse 10. Then shalt thou bless the Lord thy God for the good land which he has given thee. Beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God in keeping his commandments and his judgments. Brethren, as a from a spiritual point of view, we have been rich. We've had riches in abundance. And what has happened? We have the challenge that riches in abundance does not turn, we do not turn and respond to the enemy and fail to acknowledge the Lord, align ourselves with religious, in a religious way, with that which is of the world.
There's a direct link with what we have in verse 12 of chapter 17. And Jehoshaphat waxed great exceedingly, with what we have in chapter 18, verses 1 and so on. And Jehoshaphat had riches and honor and abundance and joined affinity with Ahab, that is, allied by marriage. And we see this with Pergamos. Pergamos in Revelation means marriage. And that history of the church, when the church prospered and became great in the world, it became married to the world. And this is always the danger, is wealth and prosperity. And we've been mentioning this. You know, there's no doubt that the prosperity that we enjoy in the Western world, Western Europe, Great Britain, United States, and Canada, is a direct result of Christianity. I have no doubt of that. But where has it brought us to? You know, I was talking to an evangelist once, and he was down in a South American country, and he said we were having gospel meetings, and we had a tent that would fit 1,000 people, but then they had to roll up the sides and bring in another 500 chairs for the people that came. Why? Because the people have nothing, and they don't have the medical care, they don't have, and so on. Death is always in their face. They don't have the doctor to pull them out of the deathbed at the last minute like we do. And so people today are self-sufficient. But just turn to Deuteronomy chapter 32. And I think, as a couple of brothers have already mentioned, Brother Hadley mentioned, that the blessing actually came from the Lord. But we're not to trust in the blessing, but to trust in the blesser. That's the challenge, brothers and sisters. So Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 15. But Jeshurun, and that's a poetic name for the people of Israel, waxed fat or grew wealthy and kicked. Thou art waxed and fat, thou art grown thick, are covered with fatness. Then he forsook God, which made him, and lightly esteemed the rock of his salvation. There's the principle. There we see it again and again and again. He grew. The blessing came from God. He grew. He waxed fat. And then boom. He's in a bad state. He's turning to other gods, forgetting the God that gave him the blessing. Now we'll turn to and look at Uzziah. I have Uzziah on the brain this morning. Turn to Uzziah. In chapter 26, verse 15, we see the same thing. Verse 15 of 26 says, and he made in Jerusalem engines, that's catapults on the wall, invented by cunning men or skillful men to be on the towers and upon the bulwarks to shoot arrows and great stones withal. And his name spread far abroad, and he was marvelously helped till he was strong. But when he was strong, his heart was lifted up to destruction. He was marvelously helped till he was strong. But when he was strong, his heart was lifted up. You see, we're only strong when we're weak, brothers and sisters. But if we think we're strong, we really actually are weak. It's just the other way around. The Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and 13, he goes into this. Where did his power come from? Did his power come from being lifted up to the third heavens? No, he said, Satan had came as a thorn. God had to humble me because of that. My power comes through what? Weakness. There you have it, through weakness. And so now we're in chapter 18, and we see this affinity allied by marriage. Because he was trusting in the riches now and in his power and his strength. And we know, and brothers probably will talk more about this, the fruit of that marriage, Athaliah trying to destroy the royal seed, you know, all these things have their ramifications, have their playing out in the world in time. And just one little expression that I've enjoyed over the years is that truth and time go hand in hand. Truth and time. Eventually, we will see it, right? And it'll come out. It'll be made manifest. And so it is, not in Jehoshaphat's day, but in the day of his children and his grandchildren, we see the fruit of his joining with Ahab. Solemn thought.
We started by saying, let's look at Jehoshaphat and some of the characteristics of him. And so, in the absence of a brother who makes lists, I'd like to make a list of three things that we read of Jehoshaphat doing. The first thing, he made his position against Israel, and we have spoken that about that. But this is where he started, and it was well known that Ahab, the king of Israel, did exceedingly more wickedness than any before him. And this is a fact, as has been said, and Jehoshaphat took his stand. He saw that, he recognized it, he drew a line. He said, here it is. And then in verse 6, he removed the high places and the asherim. How often have we heard of that in the Old Testament? He's not the first one to have done it, and he certainly wasn't the last one. And it's amazing how these things creep in. He had drawn a line. There was evil. His conscience was reached, but not the conscience of the people. And so the challenge is for each one of us, have we ourselves individually taken that stand? We are part of a fellowship that has been greatly blessed by the Lord. But where is our individual stand? Have we taken those Asherah? Have we thrown them aside? What are the Asherah in our lives? The gods of sport, of finance, of large whatever, North America, everything is large, so whatever you pick it, right? Large. What is that? Do we always say to ourselves, what is in it for me? Is that the ashra that we are serving? What's in it for me? Or do I look to further the interests of the people? And that's what he does next. In verse 12, he built fortresses and store cities in Judah. He built up the people. He strengthened the nation. He strengthened the people. And so these are three things that we can read of Jehoshaphat and what he had done. It was mentioned that we can become complacent. Once the strengthening is done, once perhaps conscience is reached, lines are drawn, there's still work to be done. Brother Diego once made a comment to me, and I've never forgotten this. Brother Diego likes tomatoes, big, juicy tomato. And he was talking about picking tomatoes, and he said that tomatoes are either ripening or they're rotting. I've never forgotten that. The work continues on. We cannot stop. In chapter 18, Jehoshaphat stopped. And that's when the problem comes. He had once drawn a line against Ahab, but now he allies himself with Ahab. And how have we stopped? How have we allied ourselves with the world? How have we made decisions that not only affect our own life, but those who are watching us? And it was mentioned that in chapter 23, there's now this daughter-in-law, right? And the decisions that were made now led to that. And so we all have a responsibility here to carry on for the Lord, to stand firm, and as was said in Jeremiah chapter 6, to choose that way and follow it.
I wanted just to follow up on that. When we look at the something else that Jehoshaphat did in the verses that we didn't read, but starting at verse 7 and going downward, we see that Jehoshaphat brings in the Levites, then he brings in the priests, and then he brings in another group. And when the leading men, the Levites and the priests, and when you look at these men, they were to teach the word of God. And I think this is extremely important for us, that one of the things that he does is that he brings men, and specifically when you look up the meanings of these men's names, it's very, very instructive. Each one of these men are connected to Jehovah by name. And that long list, every one of them, their names are connected to Jehovah in one way or another. And this is very instructive for us. Let's just apply this for a minute in our local gatherings. When a brother gets up to minister the word, is he connected to Jehovah? The saints can tell. Is he connected to Jehovah? This is so important in our day today. And why is it important? Because if there's a crevice that's open, the enemy will find it. As he found it in Jehoshaphat, a man of God. And yet, the enemy found his weak point. And the enemy finds our weak point by experience. And we read three times that Jehoshaphat allies himself with the enemy. Once in marriage, once in business, and another later on in chapter 22 as well. And so when we find these things, he found his weakness. And what's interesting about it is in verse 2 of chapter 18, it says there that he went down to visit Ahab in Samaria, and Ahab killed sheep and oxen in abundance
for him and the people who were with him and persuaded him to go down with him. And just two things there that we see in that verse. This word for killed, it's almost always, it's about 140 times in the Old Testament. And it's almost always used for sacrifice. For sacrifice. So here now we have the idea of compromise even in sacrifice. Then the second thing that we see in this verse, in verse 18, is it says he persuaded him. The word persuaded there means it has the idea of thorns pricking at you. And this is how the enemy works in our lives. He just pricks a little at a time in each one of our lives to weaken us just a little at a time, to persuade us to cave in, to compromise. It's not that big of a deal. Just give in a little. You can't be so legal. A little here and a little there. And the next thing we know, we've compromised. Sacrifice and compromise. What a challenge for us when we think of Jehoshaphat. When you read chapter 17, if it stopped there, it would be wonderful, right? Because he brought these men who are connected to God, and the word of God is preached, and as our brother said, the idols were removed. But we read in 1 Kings chapter 22 that the idols, there were some idols that weren't removed. He personally removed the idols from him, his own self, but the people's heart weren't changed. And perhaps, they saw the compromise in Jehoshaphat, the weak link, the little chain where the enemy could get in. May the Lord help us and encourage us. If we recognize the weaknesses in our own heart, we've been talking about our hearts. If we recognize the weakness in our own heart, may we fall before the Lord and confess that before the Lord. Tell the Lord, this is my weak spot. I know this. And if I know it, the enemy knows it. Lord, I surrender it to you. I don't want this weak spot in my heart. I don't want this weak spot in my life. And the Lord will fortify us. The Lord will strengthen us. We think of David. We come back to that verse at the beginning where Jehoshaphat followed in the ways of David. What about David? David had weak spots. Definitely. But what do we read about David? He was a man after God's own heart. Yeah. Confession. Before the Lord. Be an open book before the Lord. Tell the Lord, these are my weak spots. These are where the enemy is pricking me. And I need to be challenged. Lord, I want to surrender these weak areas of my life. I don't want to hold anything back. There's no room, no closet being kept back. Everything is open before you and exposed in your presence. May the Lord use this to speak to our hearts.
Well, after chapter 17, there is 19 and 20. And God is able to bring victory to himself, to bring back his servant into his right senses. He was led, he was deceived. But he, actually in the last few verses that we read, there was another deception in verse 29. It's such a foolish advice from Ahab, and the godly king falls into it. And the king said, the king of Israel said unto Jehoshaphat, I will disguise myself, will go to the battle, but put thou on thy robe, on thy robes. And the king of Israel despised himself, and they went into the battle. He believes what Ahab says is right. There is no wisdom at all. And when we are out of fellowship with the Lord, where there is no wisdom. But wisdom is only in God and in the Word of God. In Psalm 119, he says, I am become more wiser than my instructors because I keep your word. This is where wisdom comes in. But out of the fellowship, anything can deceive us. You know, I think of Psalm 73, when Asaph says, had it not been for the Lord, I would have had my feet slip. When he envied the evil ones, he says their eyes are swollen from fatness. There is no problem in their life, nor even in their death. And he goes on and on. Then he says, until I entered into the sanctuary of God, then understood I their end. Thou hast put them in slippery places. In other words, only in the sanctuaries of God that his eyes were open. There was wisdom only there. But if we are out of fellowship, then the enemy can deceive us with any type of deception. But look at God. God would always has the victory. When they gathered around him and the king of Syria, he told them, leave everybody, but just go after the king of Israel. And they thought that Jehoshaphat is the king of Israel. They gathered around him. And then in verse 31, and it came to pass when the captains of the chariots saw Jehoshaphat, that they said, it is the king of Israel. Therefore they compassed about him to fight. But Jehoshaphat cried out, and the Lord helped him. God moved them to depart from him. You know, let God be God. If this servant of his was deceived and went the wrong way, but number one, he restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the path of righteousness. And secondly, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. God, it's a very strange expression. It says, the Lord helped him. And then immediately, God moved them. Different terms. The Lord is in connection with his servant, the God of the covenant. But in God, against those enemies, with all his power and might, he pushed them away. And you find this actually very clear in the scripture. It is the Lord in connection with his people. And God with respect to the enemy. What a wonderful God we have. He's able afterwards to bring victory to himself, even through the downfall of his servant.